Gift 3, openness to ambiguity. Dr. Virginia Ramey Mollenkott.
Left unchecked, the conviction that the world is divided into good and evil empires, with our nation and our religion, everything that is good, yet confronted by evil all around, left unchecked, that addiction to dualistic certainty will destroy our entire planet. As trans people, we know what it is like to be in the middle, both male and female, perhaps, neither male nor female, perhaps, often rendered invisible or judged as evil by the dominant paradigms of our place and time. So our experience of both and of being the often forgotten middle of the gender continuum makes us ideal for teaching our fellow congregants about ambiguity.
Rabbi Elliot Rose Kukla.
Although Jewish sages often tried to sort the world into binaries, they also acknowledge that not all parts of God's creation can be contained in orderly boxes. It was the parts of the universe that defied binaries that interested the rabbis of the Mishnah and the Talmud the most. For example, we might have thought that the ambiguity of twilight would have made it dangerous or forbidden within Jewish tradition, since twilight marks the end of one day and start of the next. But, in fact, our sages determined that dawn and dusk, the in-between moments, are the best times for prayer. Jewish tradition acknowledges that some parts of God's creation defy categories and that these liminal people, places, and things are often the sites of the most intense holiness.
Reverend Drew Phoenix.
It is important in all of this to acknowledge our human discomfort with ambiguity. Our discomfort causes us to be fearful and to make rules and laws in order to create order, which we then define as the natural order, forgetting that we humans have made up the rules. Jesus modeled something different. In all the accounts of Jesus' life, we witnessed his determination to turn religious and societal rules on their head for the sake of wholeness and love. Again and again, Jesus spoke with and touched those whom others rejected because they did not fit into the established rules, traditions, and laws.
Jacob Hero.
I have experienced in my own body a variety of gendered realities from a number of different vantage points. I have been called many things, daughter, son, sister, or brother. The kids who tormented me in high school called me dyke. After college, I lived as an illegal alien in Croatia, doing LGBT human rights work. The people who shouted at me in the streets called me peder, a Croatian insult for homosexual men. And while not all of these labels still fit me, I would not trade my experience of having worn them, even though they may have felt terribly wrong at the time. Just because I value these experiences does not mean that it has come without cost. There is a little boy in Florida whom I have not been allowed to see for nearly 5 years now who called me mom. It has been gender expectations, or more precisely, gender ambiguities, that have always defined my grandmother and, by extension, the man who had adored her for the last 65 years. Nikki is a tough woman who, up until relatively recently, has amazing physical strength, rode her own motorcycle, and generally disrupted the stereotype of a typical woman. Nikki and my grandfather, Hero, do not see themselves as transgressive. However, the ways that they have always subverted expected gender norms have made them feel that their lives were fundamentally incompatible with most of the church-going folks that they knew.
Reverend Dr. Aaron Swenson.
Mine is the gift of being, in a gender sense, ambidextrous. But to experience this means that I must forego the joys of living fully on either side of the street. I need men and women in my life to teach me what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. But what I'm becoming really good at is being me, Erin, who is gender-adextrous in her transgender reality. I can celebrate God's gift in this and look to the day in the fullness of time when I will know perfect wholeness in the rest of God's bosom.